Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sound Guy Nation, Sound Guy and QT with you here on another Friday afternoon. No shows to report as of yet, but let's bring our guest on board. One of the really great young talents out of the Midwest, Miles Morales. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Going very well. And since today happens to be your first day with us, we're going to give you the first-timer's question. What led to you getting into the business of pro wrestling?
It was a lot of drive, and I always wanted to do it. So, like, it was just, like, a lot of drive and a lot of passion. I've always loved wrestling. I've always watched wrestling. And so, like, it was very inspirational to me to want to do it and become this big. Like, it was always a drive and it was a passion, because I used to always watch, like, Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, and, like, Hollywood Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then I also watched Hardcore Holly, too, on Friday, like, Velocity and, like, Friday Night SmackDowns.
Now, when you got into wrestling training, did you have anything in your background that was going to prepare you for that, be it amateur wrestling or other athletics or maybe like some sort of acting experience, anything that was going to lead you in training to have an advantage?
Not really. I've done wrestling school before, but it was probably like for like maybe a couple trainings. I've attended a couple of trainings, and I've attended a couple of events, maybe like one or two events. The first actual event, I did practices, and then there was this one time I actually got pulled into a pretzel. And then I realized that amateur wrestling wasn't cut out for it. I thought that was like my stepping stone to get into like actual professional wrestling. I did two matches, and then one match was won by forfeit. And then the other match, I won the other match, and I was five foot. And then I didn't win that match because I just didn't know how to like wrestle amateur wise. But yeah, I've done like other events to try to like fill my wrestling needs before I realized that those was not the cutout things for me. Those wasn't like the right things for me as like professional wrestling goes. I did cross country. I've done high school football. I've done I almost did soccer before. And then I've also done track and field. It's probably the same thing as cross country. And that was like in high school and like middle school. I did like the same. I did like cross country and stuff like that. I tried to do football. I couldn't understand it, but I just tried to. I tried to understand it, but it didn't really click with me as much as pro wrestling did. So I went ahead and just tried to find local wrestling schools when I moved to Indianapolis. And I just found one, and that was the WCWO. And I just started going to training when I moved out here, like two, three years ago, I think it was. And that's where it all just started clicking.
Now, you, like you said, are based there in Indianapolis, and I'm pretty sure you've spent most of your career wrestling around Indiana and some
Yes.
of the surrounding states. But at this point in your career, what's been the farthest trip that you've made for pro wrestling?
I would say the farthest trip that I've made is, I would say, Ohio. I think I've traveled to Ohio. It was for Infinite Pro Wrestling. It was a promotion run by a Paragon. Paragon brought me in, and I met a couple of other people. And he was like, "Hey, man, you want to come down to Ohio with me?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And it was me, Braden Lee, and we decided to travel down there. And then they had Carlito on the show. And I would never forget it to this day. Braden happened to take Carlito home that day. And then he was like, "Hey, who was that person that was in the ring?" And then he talked to him because he took him home and whatnot. And he happened to mention my name. And Carlito was like, that's a pretty cool dude. And that's one of the compliments to this day. I just, like, you know, I was just mind blown. Also, Infinite Pro Wrestling is actually it's an Ohio-based company. And it is from, I know a guy, the name of Paragon. He brought me in, and he told his promoter that we should be brought in, me and Brayton, and I didn't know what to expect. So it's a pretty big eye opening for me to actually get the platform and the stage to perform on, thanks to Paragon and everybody at Infinite Pro Wrestling, and also Braden Lee for also helping me with this journey. I'm very thankful for it.
Now, for someone that might be just starting wrestling or just starting to train to wrestle, what's some of the travel tips that you would have for someone? What do you think people need to know about the actual travel involved in wrestling that's going to help them be successful?
I would say, first and foremost, I wouldn't say, I'm still developing myself. I'm trying to find, like, is there room for me on, like, certain stages? And I would say character is one. You got to have the character. Two, you gotta know your role. You have to know what is needed and be willing and able to learn and actually listen and ask for advice. I would say just be coachable, teachable and coachable. Like, you have to understand things to where they can click just like that. And some people don't get it until like a year or two in, or 3 years, or maybe they just don't happen. It don't happen right away. So, like, it's a very, you have to keep training, you have to keep conditioning your body, you have to go to the gym, you have to do all these things to where you have to know everything that is expected. So when you go into promotion, that you have all these things, and all these things are day-to-day life. You have to go work out, you have to do promos, you have to talk to the fans, talk to them from the heart, and you have to practice these things before you go into promotion, and you have to make sure that you can deliver on a dime if they need you or if they don't. There's certain things that where characters, actually, you have to have a character in order to connect with the fans, and some people just have that certain character that actually can connect to the fans. Some people have it, some people don't. There are people that don't have a character, but they're just actually connecting with the fans, and it makes them feel like they're one of them. That's, like, for instance, Mance Warner is one hell of an athlete, and he can connect with the fans just like that. And it's eye-opening to where, I've been to a couple of Bizarro Lucha shows, and I've seen him connect with the fans just like that, and they all, like, levitate and gravitate towards Mance Warner when he's in the ring. And that's something that you have that it factor to where you just, like, walk in the room, and everybody just, like, comes around you, and they just can connect with you. The energy that you bring out is just something that everybody can relate to, and problems in day-to-day lives and stuff like that. So it's about the connection to the fans and making sure that your character can relate to outside situations and they can relate to the inside situations in and outside the ring to where that connection is. Like if John Cena goes to a Make-A-Wish kid and they can relate to the situations that they talked about. And if John Cena can create those kind of moments, and he's really making an impact on the outside world as well as the inside ring world. And he can just, everybody can relate to everything that happens inside and outside the ring. So when he steps inside the ring, he can have an emotional connection towards the fans. And that's one thing I actually learned, that you have to have that emotional connection, that heart and that drive and that passion to where you can look at a kid and just connect that emotional and physical connection with them as well.
A few months ago on our program, we had TJ Kemp, and TJ said that on a road trip once, you were just very surprised to see actual cows on the road trip when you were going through some of the rural areas. If you're in Indianapolis and the big city like that, I'm sure it wouldn't be a surprise once you leave there to see something like that.
Oh,
what's some of the things so far that have surprised you going to all the smaller towns like you have for pro wrestling?
Yes. There's been times where me and TJ traveled the road and I've just like looked over and like, oh, cows. And there's been time where I've traveled the road with like Braden Lee, or I'll travel with maybe I'll travel with Dewey, or I'll travel with like TJ sometimes. It would be me, TJ, and we would go ahead and just like, he'll take me like to maybe like Columbus or something. It was one time where we was traveling to a show and I happened to go over, I seen like black and white cows. But I'd never seen cows before. So like it was just like I added a blue cow situation to where you see a cow, you're like, oh, there's a cow. Oh my God. And it's just like, oh my God, actually cows are out here. So I've never been to the country before. And it was just like, it was eye opening to where it's like actual like up close kind of like up and close personal in your face, kind of like driving past. But like it was very heartwarming to me to see other animals outside of the city and outside of the country. So it's like this actual, I've never been to a farm before, so it's very overwhelming to go to ride past a farm and see actually animals like horses. I've never seen a horse before either, so like it's very heartwarming to see the other animals besides the Indianapolis life or the city life. And I'm not used to like going out to the country, so I've never been out that far. And I never actually, it was like maybe a week ago, me and TJ went fishing, and I'd never been on a boat before, so we went fishing and I've seen swan for the very first time, and I was just so amazed to where like it was just up so close and personal in your face, to where you actually like, oh, it's a swan, oh my God, like I've never seen it before, so like it's a very 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 rare first time for me, and like I've never been up close to like geese, so because I was always afraid of them before, but it's just I never seen that much of wildlife before. And it was just very heartwarming and eye-opening for me. And I just got too excited. I got super excited. So, like, it just made my day.
Did you catch anything when you were fishing with TJ?
Oh, yeah. We caught, like, it was catfish. I caught my very first catfish. I caught a couple of bass. I never caught, like, catfish before, and I never caught bass. So, like, it was, like, every single 5 seconds, catching something. And it was like 10, 8, 9 o'clock. By the time like the sun went down and it was like 7 going on 8 o'clock, we started catching stuff eating instantly. I started to get a little bit scared because the boat was rocking, but we was catching a lot of stuff, throwing the fish out, catching them, throwing them out, reeling them in. And that was like, it was very eye-opening for me because I never actually had like a role model before and actually helped me go fishing. So it was very eye-opening to me that he took me up under his wing on a boat to go fishing. And, like, I'd never been on a boat before, so, like, it was very, like, fun. And I just kept on catching fish. And he helped me put worms on the, green worms on the hook. So, like, I never knew how to do it the right way, but he kept on teaching me. And we would have these conversations. He would catch a – his actually – he tried to catch his that little bobber thing because it disconnected from a his rod. His rod snapped. And then he happened to throw his net in the fish. He wrapped his net around the cord, and he threw it in the water, tried to catch his bobber back. And it kept on, like, floating past us on the boat, and we thought it was a fish still on there. And then he was, like, watching to catch it. And then he threw it, and he caught it. But it wasn't the fish on there, but it got away. So that is just, like, moments like that is just, like, I can relate. So, like, it's hard for me. It's actually easier for me to have this connection with TJ to where we go fishing sometimes, and sometimes we don't go fishing. But it was just one of those moments that I'm very proud of, and I'm just very, 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 very grateful that it happened, and I'm just hoping that it happens again in the near future. But but it's all business in the ring. He knows that I'm one of his favorites. I know he's one of my favorites, and I look up to him as a role model to this society. And he's one of the guys that taught me, and he's one of the guys that trained me, and I'm forever grateful that he was there when I was there.
I was supposed to be 54 and a third on TJ's top 50. We didn't get to have the match last time I was in town, but I believe you did have one of TJ's 50 favorites matches. What was that like for you?
Oh, boy. So we actually, like, we knew we was going to have this match, and, like, it's been a one-on-one time for a long time coming. So, like, we had a couple matches before then, and then, like, this year we just kept on constantly having one of matches, and, like, it just brought out the best of me. Like, that was a really green match with me because I'm still green, and it's just – It's amazing to where how far I came from that match. And he told me before the match, he was like, "Hey, man, like, get out your head. And I was like, I was always in my head. I was always down to myself. And after that match, I just, like, it's amazing how much you go back. I actually have that match on my YouTube channel. And I look at that match now as today as to where how far I came. And I just looked at it to where compared to most of my TJ matches that we have recently, I've grown, and I've actually overcame, and I adapt, and I've been up and down the road, and he just knowledge and just get everything like that. It just I look back at the match, I'm like, I see how far I came. That wasn't a bad match, and we threw everything out there. That he threw me to a wall, pow! Like, it's just the fans, they reacted, they connected, they was like, it was the house came down. It was very amazing, and it's very so personal to me, to my heart, that match that held it to my heart, to where, I'm so grateful to be a part of the 50 favorites, and it's just one of those top accolades to where I'm just so happy that I accomplished to be on top of somebody's list and be one of their favorites, and it's very heartwarming to me because after that match, it's just like, they want to see more, and it's when somebody brings you under their wing, and they show you the ropes, I'm very grateful for it, and I'm just getting emotional just talking about it, and it's just so much I've accomplished with TJ, and it's one of those moments to where he's like a dad to me, he's one of the role models to me, he's one of my people I look up to, and it's just after that I just forever grateful. Speechless.
Now, being that you were part of TJ's 50 favorites, I know you're still relatively new, but you've had a lot of matches so far. Do you have one that stands out to you as being your favorite match?
A lot of my matches so far, when 2020 hit, it was just like constant, no stopping, constant. And like, it's like 2018 was sort of like, huh, it's here. And then, like, 2017, it's like, oh, it's here. And then it's like, nothing is like clicking until like 19. And then like 20, it started like really like picking up. This year started like really picking up. So like 19 started like on the back end. So like it started like chopping up at the end of 2019. And then it started to like pick up. It's like at December. I was like, oh, I just like, I feel like there's no, none of my matches are like, most of my matches are favorites. It's hard to pick. So like, it's hard to decide from all the matches that I've had that it's hard for me to pick which one to stand out the most, because all of them are actually amazingly great. And I've been in the ring with a lot of people over this course of 2 or 3 years. And I don't really like, I've been in the business since roughly maybe people say year or 2 years or year and a half, or I don't really. I started training in 2015. So, like January 2015 or December, around that year. I know at the end of 2015, I started training. I moved out here in 2015 at the end of the year. And then 2016 came, I started in like roughly in the middle of 2015, I started training, and I started my first match against Jonathan Wolf in 2016 in January. So it's been about like almost about 4 years, so to speak. I've been training for half of those years, so it wasn't really all clicking with me at first. And it's just, I've been in and out the ring so much, and like people say due time and stuff like that. So people don't really count me being in and out the ring that much, but I'm sort of rambling right now, so I'm going to get to the point. So I've been in the ring. I've been in the business for 4 years, on and off. So it's hard for me to pick which match is my favorite, match is my least favorite, because there's so many matches, like from Calvin Tankman down to Jonathan Wolf, down to TJ Kemp, down to Hoodfoot, down to Paragon, down to Adam Slade, down to Trip Cassidy, down to like all those great names. It's just hard for me to pick which one to stand out the most, but all of them are great, great, great talented wrestlers, and I've shared the ring with most of people. Like people I want to share the ring with, and it's just so heartwarming and amazing to me to where they want to share the ring with me as well. And I'm just soaking it all up, man. Just the sponge is like me, just like trying to learn everything I can. And I'm getting to that stage now to where it's just like I want to learn more and more and more. I never stop learning. So yeah, it's like, just it's so many great, great talented wrestlers out there to where it's hard for me to pick out of the matches that I've been having. It's hard for me to pick from, I can't scroll down and name one to a million. Like it's hard to pick from one out of a million, out of 10 matches that I've had, least favorite to a favorite, but I would say it's a lot of great matches that I've had over the years. I'm very grateful that I've had these matches. So it's very eye-opening to me that I share the ring with people, the likes of Calvin Tankman, TJ Kemp, and Jonathan Buff, and all of them at the Dub, and I'm very grateful to have those matches also. So down from the bottom of my heart, I'm very excited to share the ring with those people. And New Wave Pro is actually giving me opportunities to share my platform, for a platform to where I'm actually stepping up to become the next Ultra Rabbit champion. I'm trying to prove myself in New Wave, and all the promotions actually give me a shot to step up and give me a platform to perform on. I'm very grateful for that as well. So yeah, it's been a very interesting 4 years, to say the least.
I'm sure it will continue to get interesting for you as you continue on. Now, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers, when they're younger, tend to do is they tend to get a manager. Usually a manager is there to sort of help guide them, and sometimes they'll do the interviews for the talent. Sometimes they're there to sort of lead the match because they're oftentimes more experienced. There's not a lot of managers on the national level for the television companies, but on the independents, you can still find some good quality managers. Have you ever considered getting a manager so far?
I mean, like, it crossed my mind. There are some people that wanted to work with me, like, management-wise. I've never thought about it that much. I didn't think that I would. I feel like it would be, like, hard for me to be, have a manager next to me. And there are some people that want managers. Some people that need managers. There's some people that don't need managers. Some people that actually want managers. But I've, like I've said before, I've never stopped learning. So I think that would be one of the things that that'll actually help me also to learn more, is having a manager next to me and having having somebody to help me steer the wheel of this professional wrestling life and become more better than what I am now. So, I mean, hey, anything's up for grabs. You never know. I mean, I still got a bunch of stuff going out the window right now, so I'm just full of ideas, so you never know. Yeah, but I'm very open to for managers and everything. So,
one of the companies that has gotten a lot of momentum this year is the NWA. They launched the YouTube channel last fall, and they were doing very well. They were about to have a major pay-per-view when the pandemic hit, and they were forced to postpone it. They're still putting out original content on the YouTube, almost on a daily basis, having started that this week. There's a lot of great talent in the NWA. Is that a promotion that you've ever considered trying to contact to see if you get work there?
I think I've actually hit, this may sound funny, but I think I've actually hit them up a couple of times and asked them if they want that they need any talent right now, but they never actually talked to me. They actually never hit me back. So that's me running to a brick wall right now, but I will come back better than ever. I've actually hit up a couple more promotions and try to get my name out there more. People always told me to ride in a car, driving cars, hopping cars. So that's more of this year I was trying to do. And I also have my own car, so I'm trying to get like any kind of like booking that would take me. But so far, of this year, I've actually, like since the wrestling scene has slowed down a little bit, I'm trying to figure out where am I going to be, where am I going to, like, what's my next move? What's my next move for my character right now? It's all about character development. So, like, I'm trying to figure out what's my next move, what's my primary goal is going to be, what my short-term goal is going to be, what's my next 5 years goal is going to be. So it's sort of like trying to figure out where am I going to be in all this mist when the whole situation clears up. Promotion-wise, I have not actually, well, so far reached out to any promotion right now. I'm trying to figure out myself right now. So when those opportunities do come, I'll just hop in. I'll just ask people if there are any recommendations on anything you would want to see me on. But I've actually reached out for like, there's actually a couple promotions that reached out to me, like New Wave, and I would say, I'm sorry, there's actually been a couple promotions that's like not NWA, but it's like Eastern. I'm sorry. Give me 1 second.
Oh, you're good?
It's, well, we have Paul K coming up July 11th in Clarksville. So that's one of the promotions that's like new to me right now. That's what I focus on, trying to prove my worth there. So that's one of the promotions that I'm trying to get my name out there more and ahead of. So I'm currently focusing on that right now. And then so far I have AWR. So it's AWR that's actually new. I know another new promotion for me right now. It's Indiana local based. So Indianapolis local based. I've actually had my first match there like couple months ago, and it was me, Brett Havoc, and Dewey. It was actually a pretty awesome match. If you go to highspots.com, the show should be on there somewhere. It's the silent AWR is a silent wrestling revolution. So it's one of those great promotions that let wrestlers do like absolute their best to be the number one and top wrestling organization and try to stand out the most they can. And I'm actually having a blast there. So that's one of the other ones also. And then it's actually a blessing to be, I'm supposed to have a match with Dewey Wellington. Well, Dewey, as we go on to this ladder match or something that's going on. So I have that one also. And then it's just, I'm trying to establish my character around the whole organization to where nobody can take me lightly. Nobody can take me lightly as a person, as lightly as a 5'4" person as well as that. So that's one of the things that I'm trying to figure out and be more impactful in this wrestling organization. But I'm still learning as we go, though. I'm still as green as grass also, so there's some things that that's always can pick up, always can learn, always can look up like a sponge. So I'm just open the ears after everything. But yeah, that's some of the stuff that I'm working on right now. Sorry if I'm rambling so much that I can't really understand understand like some of the stuff.
Oh, you're all good. At this point, my co-host is standing by with us, so QT Vokes is going to ask you a few questions.
Well, thank you,
okay,
Steinguy. Hello, Miles.
Hello.
Miles, we have been on the air for about 10 and a half years now and have over 1,400 interviews. How did you come to learn about Turnbuckle Turmoil, and have you listened to any of our interviews?
I've listened to a couple of your interviews before. I didn't know about it until a couple of weeks ago where you guys hit me. I think you guys either hit me up or not. There was somebody asking about being on the podcast, and I just agreed to come on it, and I just didn't know how to go about it. So it's like my second podcast I've ever done. So I've done a couple of podcasts, maybe two or three, but I'm very new to this whole podcasting. Like I've said, I'm open to learn about anything. So I've tried to get my name out there more as possible as I can, if anything. So I've actually watched one of you guys' podcasts, I think it was, but I've actually have to get back on the track and watch the podcast. And there's so much about me I have to learn. So,
oh, okay, very, very nice. All right. Well, Miles, I saw your YouTube video entitled Miles Morales versus Joshi Boy, and it was for the GPW.com championship on February 2020. Had you wrestled Joshi Boy before this match?
I've run in with Joshi Boy before, but it was in a scramble, but I never faced him one on one. So that's the second time ever we actually faced off before. And I would tell you that it's actually I consider him one of the great out of a thousand people. That's actually one of the great wrestlers. He knows how to captivate an audience. He knows how to bring a crowd to their feet. Like, it's just, he's actually one of those talent wrestlers that nobody really understands. And he's very great, and he has grit. he continuously learn, and he also picks up on little things, and he just like tweaks everything perfectly. So it's one of those people that actually knows what they're doing. He's been in the business for a very long time, and I would say that he's one of the people that actually bring the smoke and actually give me a run for my money. So I came up short, but I would tell him this if he's listening right now, that Joshy boy, this will not be the first or the second time. This will be the third time that we ran to each other. If we do, trust me, it's going to be a whole different ball game, brother.
Whoa, very good. Very, okay. Joshy boy is put on notice.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the announcer introduced Joshy boy as Mr. 502. Are there any truths to the rumors that this is how many bottles of beer he drinks every 6 months?
I don't know, but I mean, there are rumors, so I'm not sure about that. But hey, I'm just a wrestler, so I have no idea.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, now speaking about beers, do you have a post-match favorite drink that you consume? Maybe some Red Bull or some tea?
Oh, yeah. So I actually take like maybe two bangs a day. Not like bangs before my match. I take like two of those. I have Rockstar Lemonade. Rockstar Lemonade is my favorite right now. I have Strawberry Lemonade Rockstar I take before my matches sometimes. I would have maybe just banging Rockstar. And then I also have like maybe like some water nearby. I have like water bottles. I actually bought a water bottle from Walmart, so I'll probably be using that more often before my matches or after my matches or pregame workouts or whatever. But I'm currently trying to figure out the C4 situation with pre-workout and stuff like that. I heard that it was pretty good. A couple people told me about that, and I'm going to try it before my matches and see how I feel. So, yeah, I got a couple tricks up my sleeve, and I'm trying to make sure that every trick gets filled.
Okay, all right. Now, Miles, do you ever go on YouTube and look up old videos of Sanford and Son?
I used to watch Sanford and Son when I was like 16, well, 15, 14, 16, something like that. And trust me, I miss Sanford and Son. But right now, I'm currently watching The Walking Dead. So if this Corona, thing just like up and happened to be like a you know, quote unquote, a walking apocalypse. I'm just saying, hey, there's nothing that's suplex or dropkick can cure. So, but yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. But yeah. I've actually watched Sanford and Son before, and trust me, Quint, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey.
Well, Mr. Sanford sometimes has a drink where he combines cream and Ripple being a wine, and he calls it Cripple. Yes.
Oh, wow.
I was just wondering if you drank any Cripple before any of your matches. Cripple.
No. I've never actually have drunk any Cripple before my matches, but hey. I might look into that. Yeah, I might look into that.
Well, all right. Okay. Well, Mr. Morales, the referee did a good job in presenting the belt to you before the match, both wrestlers, for your inspection, but he did not check Josie Boy for foreign objects. This was for the title in the contract. Did they have a no foreign object clause when you were signing the contract for the title? No foreign object clause?
I think we did sign a no foreign clause or whatever. I just didn't know that. I've watched the match like maybe once or twice, looked back at it to see what I've done wrong or what I could do better. I've never actually realized that little part that you told me about. So, yeah, I would talk to Joshy Boy next time at Grindhouse. So, and ask him about that. So, maybe it's something we got to do a little rematch on for the title. So, hopefully, I can actually have a better chance than winning, at actually winning the GPW Championship and reclaiming my my that's rightfully mine. So.
Okay.
Thanks for pointing out for me.
I got to give it to the referee. He was dressed up nicely, and he had on wrestling shoes, and he presented the belt to you, both of you, nicely, but he didn't even call for the bell to be rung. That was another thing I noticed, the bell ringing.
Huh. Well, maybe I have to talk to GPW, Grindhouse Pro Wrestling's management, and ask them about that and see what happened while I get, if I got cheated or anything, why we play the tape or something like that. But yeah, I will be back in Jeffersonville and asking them about what happened or anything. So I'll try to figure that out. I didn't know nothing about that. So brought to my attention. Now I have a reason to go back to Jeffersonville.
More of a
reason to go back to Jeffersonville. But I'm really actually interested in the Grindhouse Pro Wrestling Champion World Championship belt. So, Truth Magnum, I have his number. So, I'm keeping a close eye on that championship.
Okay, all right. How about the tag team championship?
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I'm way ahead of you on that one. I've been scouting out a couple of ideas and people to ask you. I've been actually asking around to see who all would tag team with me. I think I've seen Joe Trick or Travis backstage, so I might have a little thing up my sleeve. So about a couple of people, like maybe Freddie Hudson or something. But yeah, I have a couple of tricks on my sleeve for that. So,
well, at the 4:58 mark of the match, you had a very good bicycle kick to the back of Joshy's head with your right foot. Yeah, and you said you turned out for track and field. Was high jump one of the events that you did?
I've actually competed. I've actually practiced the high jumps, but I've never competed for it. So it was one of my track and field to-do list, bucket list when I was young, but I never actually was. I was scared to do the long jumps. I would just run the 100 or 200 mile run, and then I would call it a day. And then my trainer looked at me, she was like, "Oh, why don't you have running shoes?" I'm like, "I didn't know that running shoes that you needed running." I was running in Jordan, so I didn't know. I was the slowest one, so I didn't have the right shoes. My mama couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford it, so it was just hard for me to become actually track and field competitor. But if anything, I'm more prepared now to be a track and field competitor. So. I don't completely have running shoes. I have maybe a couple of wrestling shoes, maybe some All-Stars. I could have just ran it, but my cardio is actually better than what it was when I was 16 or 15. So that's another plus side to me growing up. So.
Okay. Did you know that the world record in the high jump is 8 feet 1/4 inch by Javier Sotomayor of Cuba?
Huh. I didn't know that. Cuba?
Yes. Your homework assignment, Miles, is to go on YouTube and look up world record high jump, Javier Sotomayor, and you'll see him jumping over 8 feet in the air. Yes.
That's insane. That is insane. It's like how Yao Ming was the tallest man in the NBA.
Oh, yes, 7'4". Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So who would you say is better, Shaq or Yao Ming?
Oh, I'd say Yao Ming because, he had foot problems. And there's one video of him blocking Shaq's shot 3 times in a row. And he even blocked Shaq so hard that Shaq fell to the floor. Yes.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't even know about that. I'm going to YouTube that this now. YouTube that in a minute.
Oh, okay. Yao Ming blocks Shaq's shot. You'll be amazed at how hard he checks Shaq. Yes.
See, okay. I have homework for tonight.
Yes, high jump homework and track homework. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, Miles, you hit him with four knife-edge chops around the seven-minute mark. My question is, what's the hardest knife-edge chop you have received from a woman, or have you received a knife-edge
chop? I've received a lot of knife-edge chops, but the match from AWR with me and Dewey, I received a chop from a fan, and it stung quite a bit. So I was holding, clutching my chest, and I like fell down for like 2 seconds. I was like, okay, I gotta regain. I just got back up, and I was like, whew. But yeah, there was a fan that actually got up and like chopped the crap out of me, and I would never forget that day. And it was like a couple of months ago, so like this was like fresh, like maybe like 5 or 4 months ago, I think. But it's you got to go on hotspots.com to see it, though. I think the match might be on YouTube somewhere. I don't – maybe. But trust me, just Google – just Google Miles Morales Wrestling. All my matches are actually on YouTube. So it's been from the good times to the bad times. So that's one of those matches that I'm really proud of, too, also, because both competitors brought the smoke. So I'm really proud of that, too.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Miles, at one point in the match, you hopped up on the second turnbuckle and used the turnbuckle to launch an aerial assault. This movement reminded me of Kofi Kingston. Was he a big influence on you? And did any wrestling commentator say that you yourself had a sunny disposition like Kofi?
Well, I mean, I get that a lot. So, like, it's very common that I get the Kofi Kingston look-alike comparison. And some people will tell me, hey, man, you should do this about Kofi Kingston. Hey, man, you should do this about Kofi Kingston. I'm like, hey, I'm Miles Morales, not Kofi Kingston. But I understand where you guys are coming from. Hey, Kofi Kingston is actually one of my inspirations. So it's really – it's like he's like the top three. Top four. Out of top four, it would be Jeff Hardy, number one. CM Punk number second, and then third is Dolph Ziggler, and then maybe fourth is Kofi, because I didn't start watching Kofi until like CM Punk. I think CM Punk wasn't there that much on Raw, and then like Dolph Ziggler was just not being brought up, and like Jeff Hardy was gone, so I had to actually watch Kofi Kingston a couple of times. And I was like watched Raw on and off that much. I wasn't really invested in Raw that much until like I didn't know what Jeff Hardy was. So, like, I switched back from channel, and I found him on TNA. So, yeah, it was BO's top four, but top five, I would say if all the people was in here, like, out of all, top all overall, it would be, I would go The Rock, Stone Cold, Jeff Hardy, and Dolph Ziggler.
All right.
That's my top five.
Pretty solid top five. Now, speaking of The Rock, he had some very seminal moments with the Hurricane. And the Hurricane is kind of like like a superhero. Were you a big fan of the Hurricane?
Huge fan of the Hurricane. I was a huge fan of the Hurricane. And then, like, it was – when I first got cable, it was like, oh, who was the superhero? I haven't watched Raw in a huge minute. So, like, it was the Hurricane, talking about the Rock and Hurricane segments is off the roof, off the chain. And then, like, he would be hiding in the closet or somewhere, and then the Rock would come around, what's wrong, baby? And then he would look back and be like, excuse the Rock 1 second, and then the Hurricane would just be hiding in the closet somewhere or something like that, and then it would just be like over the top of comedy. Just 10 out of 10. I would highly recommend just go back and watch those kind of segments, because it brings back like my childhood to where I actually fell in love with wrestling, and it made it more comical to where people can relate, like me as a kid, and have funny moments to where I'm just like tuning in every night, just like, what are they going to do now? What are they going to do now? To where it's compared to like it's more, it was more fun back in the day, like that. And then it was also ruthless aggression behind the characters. And they had a meaning and a purpose to where they wasn't just taken lightly of being in the funny segment after the funny segments was over. And then, like, I just love the comedy side of wrestling sometimes. It just, after you get through, like, a long, hard day of work, it just, you have to unwind and disconnect and let wrestling do that for you, to where they have Hurricane, The Rock, Stone Cold bringing you the best content of all time, and it's just allowing you to be yourself and be a wrestling fan for, like, those couple of moments and just be proud of watching wrestling, to where some people may call it fake, some people may call it scripted, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter, because it actually brings people together and brings people's attention to where there could be one person in a room and then eight people could walk in and they all are connected and they all are hooked, to where people are calling it, oh, it's predetermined or it's prefect. So what? We're all wrestling fans and we all love wrestling. But that's not a point. You can't tell me that there's not one kid in the USA or America or even the entire earth that does not watch wrestling, because everybody and their mama watch wrestling. So, yeah, wrestling has been in people's lives from the jump. So, everybody can have their own opinion about wrestling. So, people just have their own opinion about wrestling. They grow out of it. They fall out of love with it. But I've been in love with wrestling since I was 16. So, I haven't really actually looked at TV until I was 16. So, like, after PBS Kids would go off, I would be clicking over and find nothing interesting to watch on, like, a Tuesday or Wednesday. And if it's a Monday or a Friday, UPN and, like, Friday nights is, like, the best time ever when I was a kid growing up. So, and then when we had cable, oh, no, Monday Night Raw, here we come, USA Network. And my mom, she will always love The Undertaker, and she was always an inspiration. But, like, she was always an inspiration for us to be okay with wrestling. She was okay with wrestling, so she loved Undertaker. Undertaker was her favorite person, her favorite character. So she fell in love with the character of Undertaker, and I just, like, fell in love with wrestling all together. So, yeah.
Wow, very good. Okay. Well, Miles, you said earlier to Sign Guy that you saw your first goose and your first cow. Out here in the Pacific Northwest, you can drive about 30 minutes out of Seattle, or 40 minutes, and you can find yourself in the Cascade Mountain Range, and where mountain lion sightings are fairly common. Do you have any plans to come out to Washington State, where they have a whole bunch of wrestling and some mountain lions?
Oh, I mean, I'm up for anything. We can try to, like, I've never been to Washington State, so that'll be a first for me, right? I wouldn't mind traveling more often and actually trying to figure out, like, where other indie promotions are, so I can actually get my name out there more. So it'd be a first-time experience for me to go out of the state and discover all these new things, like wildlife and, like, actually indie promotions that I've never heard of. So that would be a first for me. I'm actually down to try anything. So with that being said, it's all game. It's all game. So,
wow, you can even go out to Wrestle Club in Idaho, and you can see a tag team that has a chicken for a mascot, Bernadette.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
They're called the Spud Brothers. Okay, well, Miles, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and good luck with your homework assignment of looking up Javier Sotomayor of Cuba, world record high jump.
if anything, you can send me the link and I'll watch it through Messenger, or just send me, like, a message and I can just keep, I'm just gonna send me a gift or something about that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just, like, send me something so I can actually, like, send me the name of it and I can just, like, type it into my YouTube. I actually have an Xbox One, so, like, it's like a big old TV in front of me right now. So I'm just, like, waiting. So just text me on a Messenger. And I'll just type it into my YouTube channel. If you don't mind.
All right. Oh, no. I think I can do that. I'll try to befriend you on Facebook. Yes.
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Miles, we have a few minutes left of the show today, and I want to give you that time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug or promote anything you want, merchandise, any shows that you might have scheduled, social medias, your favorite donut shop, anything you want, floor is all yours.
Okay, so my favorite donut shop is Rise and Roll on Broad Ripple, so you got to come check it out no matter what you do. You have to come out and get a freshly made donut. The crack donuts are to die for. And also, I have a Facebook, a Twitter, a Instagram, and you can all follow me on C-Miles Fly, C-Miles Fly 2020 on my Instagram, and C-Miles Fly 23 on my Twitter. You can also follow me on Miles Morales on my Facebook page. I also have a YouTube gaming channel called Brian, BryanDazis. You can also follow me on my other YouTube channel. It's called Brian Dazes Gaming. And I also have a couple of bookings coming up. I have AWR, I have WCW on Friday nights, I go there every week sometimes. I have a couple more calendar scheduled dates. Just follow my Facebook, please, and please follow my Facebook so that you can see in the near future I have events coming up. So I will let you guys know. I'll post daily about them, and just make sure you guys come out and support me, please. I also have merchandise coming out, too, so make sure you grab a fresh Don't Die Miles t-shirt.
Well, Miles Morales, I want to thank you for being on today. We appreciate it, and I'm pretty sure we're going to see a lot more of you. You're doing excellent so far, and I know you're going to do even better as your career goes forward.
Thank you so much, Sound Guy. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very blessed.
Our pleasure. And fans, as we wrap up today, we want to mention that this past week we lost Shad Gaspard in a tragic accident. He was swimming in the ocean with his son. A riptide hit. The lifeguards came out, and Shad insisted they save his son first, which led to him going under and not resurfacing. The body came ashore the other day, so sadly his life was ended. So we want to pay tribute to him as we end the show today with the 10-bell salute for Shad Gaspard.